Yeah. Good afternoon. It's good to be up here again and see you all. It's been a while for us. I wish we could have come up for the camp out, but this is our busy time at work, so I've been working a lot of overtime and just couldn't make the trip up. And just so I happened to work out, I had this weekend free, so David asked me to come up, and I was glad to come up and visit with you again. I like comedy. I enjoy a good laugh. I like to laugh. I like to find the funny things in life. Maybe sometimes it's not quite appropriate when I find it, but I still try to find it. Seems to make my life go better. I would rather do that than be grouchy or angry all the time. But I was driving by, and one of the things I like to do is I like to read church signs. For some reason, I seem to find a lot of humor in a lot of them. And there are actually, you can go on the internet and do searches, and you can find the little slogans are up there, and some of them are just really hilarious, not because of doctrinal differences, but just because of the way they put them up there and the way they word them. It's like sometimes they don't read what they put up. So usually you can have a good laugh. Well, there's a Presbyterian church in Gate City, and you have to go by it to go up by the post office or to the bank, and they've had to sign up, and it caught my attention. And on there it says, "Free trip to heaven. Details inside." Well, of course, that just gets my mind going. And I told somebody, I said, you know, I would like to walk into one of those churches like that. And so this is the bad side that I have to work on. Walk in and just cut loose with a string of cuss words and say, I want to find out about this blankety blank deal you got going on. And just blankety blank and just go on, because I know they're going to run me out. But yet what they would tell me is the details of the free trip are very simple. And it's how to be saved. And it's a real easy process, is what they would say. There's nothing you have to do. Just believe in Christ, and you're saved. But yet, if you went in there cursing and carrying on, they would ask you to leave. And my reasoning is well, based on what? Because you're telling me there's nothing guiding me, there's nothing I have to do to be saved, so why do I need to change my life? Why do I need to clean my act up? Because you're telling me about this person, Jesus Christ. Well, I know him. Heard his name my whole life. There's 50,000 churches around here. Most of them Baptist. I know all about Jesus. So I'm good to go. And can carry on with my cursing and everything else that I want to do, and drinking and partying and adultery, and because I don't need to worry about anything. So I went on the internet, as I often do, and did a little search, and this is what I found at one website that talks about the simple salvation, or salvation as simple as ABC. Admit you are a sinner in need of the Savior Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins. Confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and you're in heaven. That's it. That simple. But yet, if you go and listen to the messages that they give each week, you're told how to live a good life, how you're supposed to love one another, how you're supposed to do the right thing, how you're supposed to not commit adultery, how you're supposed to love your spouse, how you're not supposed to steal or cheat your neighbor. And they go through these lists of things that you're supposed to do. But yet nowhere, when they talk about going to heaven, do they have that listed. It's simple. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're through the gates. You're in. And they use Romans 10, verse 13 for that. If you were to turn over to Romans 10, because I like to go and I like to investigate the scripture that they use, because, you know, hey, maybe I've got it wrong. So I always like to look and see. I'm going to begin in verse 12. Because I just don't go to one verse and use that to build a whole foundation of what I believe. Beginning Romans 10, verse 12, it says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, I guess they got it right. I'm wrong. Well, let's read on just in case. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth, into the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation. I will anger you to jealousy by them. But as very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Who cares? All they got to do is call on Christ. That's it. So why do we even have this talking about being disobedient? A gainsaying people. What does that matter? That's Israel. That's not us. Well, no, I started out by reading, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There is only one Lord. There is no difference. So if he's talking about them, he must be talking about me, because there's no difference between us. So there seems to be a little something else going on here. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, going down to verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Oops. What's all that? The details of my free trip to heaven are all I got to do is call on Christ. What's all this other stuff? What's this about being obedient? This is not sounding quite as good now, because now I got to start showing love for you all. I don't think that's unfair. So, what's going on here? Well, you know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, you don't have to turn over, you make a note of it, you'll recognize it, says, not everyone who saith, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth my Father's will. Now, wait a minute. We just read in Romans 10, 13, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All I got to do is, when the time comes, is say, Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm here. I believe in you. But yet Matthew tells us there's going to be people who are going to do that, and they're not going to enter into God's kingdom. Why? Because there's more to it than that. That's what the world doesn't understand. They don't understand that it's not just about believing in this person, Jesus Christ. There is more to it. Christ came and Christ died so that we have access to God's kingdom. So that we as Gentiles, we as people of the world who are not Israel, or not Jews, have access into God's kingdom. It includes everyone now. Whereas before, it was just part of the people. And also, it included just the land, not eternal life. Now we're dealing with eternal life. We're talking about God's kingdom, eternal life, living forever. You have access to that because Christ came and Christ died. And now we have access to that. But the world doesn't seem to understand that. They want to say that all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and you're good as gold. But yet, we all know, even our friends who stand around and go, can you believe what she did? Can you believe what he did? Why does it matter? Why does it matter if I go out here and steal somebody's car? According to what the world says, it shouldn't matter, because I can still call on Jesus. Now, there'll be people who'll say, yes, but see, if you really believe in Jesus, you wouldn't act that way. Why? Where is my guidance? Where is it that says that I have to believe in Jesus and act a certain way? Because you're telling me I don't have to. You're telling me, by the details that you're giving me, All I have to do is confess I'm a sinner. Well, I ain't got no problem with that. I'll tell you I'm a sinner. And call on Christ's name. That's it. But that's not what the Bible tells us. But that's what they believe. There comes the confusion. There comes the insight that you have that they don't. You see, you are trying to earn your salvation. You're an earner. So you don't believe that God is giving it to you. You have to go earn it. And that's wrong. Because you're working for your salvation. You see, they don't understand that we understand that God has given us a gift. I like to think of it as a nice package setting up here. Now, in order for me to get that gift that God has given me, I have to step over, I have to open it, I have to take it. That's what we're doing in the salvation process. We are taking steps towards that gift, God's kingdom. We're walking on that path towards God's kingdom. I'm not earning it. I'm doing what God expects me to do. He doesn't have to give me that gift. He still expects me to be obedient. He still expects me to follow the Ten Commandments. He still expects me to follow His law, whether He gives me anything or not. But you see, He has offered this to us and said, here it is, come get it. There is no way that I could earn that gift, because God could have said, sorry, I'm not giving you eternal life. I'm not letting you in my kingdom. He didn't have to. That's the free gift. I can't earn that because that's God's. Only He can give it. I can't take it. I can't grab it. I can't earn it if He doesn't offer it. But He has offered it to us. But He has said, here it is, but you have to live my way to get it. And the world doesn't understand that. Salvation to us is the means by which God, through Christ, saves man from the penalty of sin, gives him eternal life. This process includes one's calling, repentance, baptism, justification, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, a life of faith and obedience, and finally the birth into God's kingdom as a spirit being. It's a process we enter into from the moment we're called. You see, some people don't understand that. We have to be called. You can be here and you can listen to everything I say. But if God hasn't called you, it's not going to do you any good. That's not fair. That's not right. That's God's rules. I'm sorry. You know, in this day and age of tolerance, people get upset when you start excluding people. How can you exclude someone? You're telling me they can't be in God's kingdom? No, I'm not saying that necessarily, but I'm telling you that if God doesn't call them and they don't answer and they don't go into the process, then they're not going to be the first fruits into God's kingdom. I'm not saying they won't ever be in God's kingdom, because we know that what God's plan is. God is calling people to serve Him. And those people will be in the first resurrection. Those people are going to be priests. That's what God's doing. He's calling priests to train us now to become priests in His kingdom. That's what He's calling us for. And that's who He's calling. Just because He's calling us doesn't mean that the rest of the world is excluded and will not be in His kingdom. They have their time and their place to make a decision, but he is not calling them as priests. That's what the first fruits are. He's calling us for service now to learn to be priests, to become priests, to earn that title priest. That in God's kingdom, that's what we'll be serving as if we're in that first resurrection. And it starts with our calling. Turn over to John chapter 6, verse 44. John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent him draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You cannot come to God unless you're called. You can show up in church. You can do all the right things. But if you're not called, you don't have an invitation. That's an exclusion. People will be excluded. And yet, in our today's society, people get upset if you say that. I hope to be in God's kingdom, but I can't tell you that I'm going to be there. I believe I have been called because I see things that other people don't see in the world. I see God's truth that we all agree on is God's truth. But the truth is, I won't know till that day whether I've made it or not. I can have a pretty good idea. If I'm moving forward, if I'm growing spiritually in those fruits and things, then I have an idea, but I really don't know. I don't know which of you will make it into God's kingdom. I can't look at you and say, you're not going to be there. Because I don't know where you are in your spiritual growth. That's between you and God. I can't look out here in the world and say, you know, that person right there is not going to be in God's kingdom because I don't know what God's plan is for them. I don't know when God will call them. I don't know if they will answer God's call. But guess what? I really don't care. Because it doesn't matter. That's their business. I've only got one concern. And that's me making it into God's kingdom. Because I'm the only one that will get me there. I'm the only one that will stop me from getting there. You can't do that. You can't get me there. And you can't stop me from going there. It's up to me. My relationship with God, what I'm doing, answering my calling. After God calls us, that's when we begin to see things. That's when we begin to see that the way we're living our life is wrong. And that brings us to repentance. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. You don't have to turn over there. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't think there's anybody in here that would say that they're not a sinner. They haven't been a sinner. That there is sin in their life. But what does that mean? You know, I said, when you go out to the world, they tell you all you got to do is believe in Christ. That's it. But we've already found out that that's not true. So what is it that we're repenting of? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Again, you don't have to turn over there. You know this one quite well. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You have to understand what the law is before you can even realize that you're sinning. And you can't do that until God calls you and opens your eyes to it. And then you see that there is a law there. That there is something we're supposed to be obeying. And you look at that law, and you look at your life, and you say, I'm sinning. I'm a sinner. I'm not keeping God's law. And you realize, I've got to change. I desire to change. I don't want to live this way anymore. That's repentance. It's not just going, yeah, I'm a sinner. Full steam ahead. It's, I'm a sinner and it's got to stop. I have to change my life. That's repentance. And we come to that stage and we understand that we need to repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. It includes that deep sorrow of realizing what a sinner you are. And when we come to that realization, we realize, you know, I can't do it without God's help. I have to have God. That's repentance. When you come to that point and realize that you are a sinner, that you're breaking God's law, and you need help from God. Because it's at that moment when you realize you need help that God can work with you. Because no longer are you trying to do it on your own. No longer are you trying to push God to the side, hey, I'll take care of this. And that's what leads us to baptism. We understand now, we understand that we have to keep the law, we understand that our life needs to change, and that calls us to baptism, where we go in through the symbolism of the water of dying and coming out clean. All that past sin is left behind. You're a new person. The adultery, the thieving, the lying, that's all gone. That's all left behind. The moment you come up out of that water, that's all gone. Until you do it again. But that's up to you. You've now come up out of that water of baptism, and then you receive God's Holy Spirit. You have hands laid on you, and you receive God's Holy Spirit, which is your helper. That's the thing that keeps you on that straight and narrow track. That's the thing that reveals new truth to you, that you see God's law, that you understand what you need to do in your life. And it's a wonderful gift. And guess what? The world doesn't have it. Only those people that God calls. And that allows you to see things that they can't see. I was talking to my daughter. You know, you read a piece of scripture and you read it and you go, this is so clear, I don't understand why somebody else can't see it. You show a coworker, look at this scripture, this is what it says. And they're like, no, it doesn't. And you're like, how can you not see that? And I equated it to, you could take a sentence, the cat runs. And that's clear. The cat ran. It's easy. If you've got God's Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, then it becomes, well, is it really a cat? Or was that a dog? And did he run or did he walk? And confusion is in. And it's such a simple sentence to us. But to the world, it's confusion because they're not called. They don't have God's Holy Spirit to clear things up. I gave a sermon a couple weeks ago about the Holy Spirit. And I'll share a point with you on it. You know, I can't get up here and give you a hellfire brimstone sermon because we don't believe in hell. You're not going to burn forever. You're not going to be in eternal torment. So I can't threaten you with that. I wouldn't want to threaten you anyway. But I will point out something to you. This wonderful, great gift of God's Holy Spirit. The thing that allows you to see the truth that you see. Every time you read the Bible and you understand something in God's truth, that's a gift from God. You being here right now is because a gift of God, of His Holy Spirit, that allowed you to see that this is the Sabbath. And that this is where you should be. That you can lose that. And to me, that's scarier than any hellfire. Because think a minute. Imagine not knowing what you know now. Well, that's impossible. No, it's not. If you lose God's Holy Spirit, you will not know what you know now. That's why when you look at people who have been in the church, you go like, how can they go back out into the world? How can they start keeping Sunday? How can they start keeping these holy days? How can they do the things that they knew they weren't supposed to do? It's because they've lost God's Holy Spirit. And with that, they have lost the knowledge of God's truth. Now you sit here having God's Holy Spirit and understand God's truth. If you lose that, you lose that truth. And you can lose it. If you do not use it to grow. That's that growth process. That's that growing into spiritual fruits. If you're not growing, then you're going backwards. And if you're going backwards, you will lose God's Holy Spirit. And it will be gradual. And you won't even realize it if you don't focus on what you're supposed to be doing. So if you just live life and go on about things and don't think about it, don't spend any time thinking about God's Word, you come in here on the Sabbath and you turn around and go back home and that's it until next Sabbath, you're moving backwards. And you're in danger of losing the truth that you have and that you hold so precious right now. And to me, that's scarier than anything that anybody can threaten me with. To think that I wouldn't understand the Sabbath and the holy days and the wonderful things that they mean. But it can happen. But thankfully, God gives it to us to guide us. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, going down to verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who then they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on him, and they received the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. God's Spirit is absolutely necessary for that spiritual creation process. You have to have that to grow in spirit, to grow towards becoming that spiritual being that will enter into God's kingdom. You have to have that. That's part of the process. Without it, you will not enter God's kingdom. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Going down to verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Salvation is not earned. It's given. You just have a process you have to go through. And it's being obedient. See, the things I just read are not told to people who go in to check on this free trip. Because that's not what's said. All you got to do is call on the Lord Jesus and you're in the gate. It's like you can walk up to a club and say, "Hey, I know Jim." And they let you in. That's not the way it works. You can't just walk up and say, "Hey, I know Jesus." And they're going to open the gate and say, "Well, come on in, friend." That's not how it works. They're going to say, "Did you do the will of the Father?" How do you know the will of the Father? The Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? You have hands laid on you after baptism, after being called by God. It's a process. And that Holy Spirit allows you to live your life according to God's law. And that's the only way that you can do it. So people who do not have that will fail. They will come short. And if they lose God's Holy Spirit, they will not enter into God's kingdom. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. And behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Keep the commandments. How can I do that? They've been done away with. They're hung on the cross. They're gone. I don't have to do anything except call out Jesus' name. And that's it. That's what the world believes. But right here it is. But you see, they can't see that. They can't understand that. And if you lose God's Holy Spirit, neither will you. You will not understand that simple scripture right there that I just read. That we're saying, that's simple. That's clear. If you don't have God's Spirit, you will not understand that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. There's one verse, you don't have to turn there. Matthew 16, verse 27. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Wait a minute, we're talking works now. You can't talk that because that's wrong. But yet there it is. So how can that be? Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments, because they're the ones that are going to get in to God's kingdom, doing his commandments. You don't see, blessed are they that call out Christ's name, those that do his commandments. You see, I go through this, and you say, yeah, I know it. This is basic stuff. I learned this a long time ago, and that's true. But what I want you to focus on today is this simple truth that we find so simple, that we see a church sign and we laugh at it on such a simple matter, is not so simple without God's Spirit. You have a wonderful, wonderful gift that's been given to you. And that is God's Holy Spirit that allows you to see these things. And I want you to understand. And I want you to be afraid. Because that fear will hopefully keep you from going backwards in the salvation process and losing God's Holy Spirit. Because this simple truth that I've gone over today, that you find so simple, will be impossible for you to understand if you lose God's Spirit. And you will not remember it. And you will not see it if you lose that. So guard that as the precious gift that it is. Nurture it and grow it. Because the trip isn't free. It will cost you everything. Because you have to give everything to God. He has to control your life. You have to give in to Him completely. It will cost you everything. But once you make it, the destination is priceless.